KPRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Chair Show.
Thank you, everybody, that signed up to the Clanging Gong News.
You people are crazy for doing that.
You took the challenge, and I got a lot of new signups. It's fantastic. Why not? It's a free newsletter, and it's fantastically packed with lots of information and satirical cartoons. I love satire. I love making fun of religious hypocrites. Well, Paul did.
Yeah, he did.
You know, everybody, time somebody says, you know, you're mean to people. I'm not. You know, people think this is... that an era of grace necessarily translates to an era of nice. But, you know, Paul says that we're to expose, rebuke, and entreat. We're to expose the falsehood. And one of the best ways to do that is by using satire.
Yeah.
Paul himself did it. I love how he called the circumcision the maimcision.
Maimcision.
That was a real play on words. In other words, you folks think that, you know, cutting the end off there is is going to make you right before God. He says, actually, you're only maiming the flesh.
Yeah.
You're only hurting yourself. You're injuring your body. He called him. He made it a play on words called the circumcision, the maimcision. That was bitter satire.
Uh-huh.
And in that same context, he says, would that you would cut yourselves off also.
Ooh.
you know what he's saying there?
Yeah.
If you think that cutting a little bit off is good, don't just cut the whole thing off. It'd be even better.
Yeah, exactly.
They should cut themselves off. This is the Apostle Paul, the messenger of grace. He's using satire to expose. This is what we do in the Clanging Gong News. Hello to Kelly in Arizona. Good to have you on board. Listen to us every day. And there's a guy who loads this show on his iPod as he bicycles to work in Holland. You can load this show. We want you to copy these shows. You can go to martinzetter.com, right-click, copy the show, load it onto a CD, put it in your car, on your iPod, take it with you. Have at it, folks. We want you to spread this word out there. I got an email from a gal. We talked about Israel, and I said that not even Israel comes into the truths of justification in the kingdom. And I dealt with this in one of the Clanging Gongs, and she felt that we were putting down Israel. It's like, well, how can you say that the body of Christ has a greater expectation, that while Israel is shepherding the nations on the earth in the 1,000 years, the body of Christ is among the celestials dispensing grace to realms unseen, is seated at the right hand of God. It is a higher calling,
yeah.
And it sounds like we're putting down Israel, and this is how it comes across to some people.
Well, that's first let me say people are always being offended. Right. First of all, get a grip. Calm down. Stop being. Everyone's always so offended. I'm offended.
It's not politically correct to say that
offended.
Israel. Well, Israel
now,
self was offended.
Notice how they looked at that. What you just said, that we're putting Israel down. No, we're not. We never put Israel down once. God is going to fulfill every promise he made to Israel. As a matter of fact,
you and I
probably more than most give Israel a place. That let's put it this way. If I walked into the UN today, a UN meeting, I would get up and say, no matter what you do, Israel's going to rule every one of you with a rod of iron.
Yeah.
What would happen?
Nothing good.
No, I'd probably be shot and killed. But that's exactly what's going to happen in the coming eon. Israel is going to rule this world with a rod of iron.
And many churches have spiritualized that away, thinking that the body of Christ is somehow spiritual Israel. I hear this phrase all the time. The body of Christ is spiritual Israel. God could not fulfill his literal promises. All these promises of inheriting the earth, the meek shall inherit the earth, the kingdom, the Abrahamic covenant, Christ himself coming down to confirm the patriarchal promises. It's not going to happen. Israel disobeyed. It was too tough for God. So now he's, quote, spiritually, unquote, fulfills these promises in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah. Doesn't take any faith to believe that nonsense.
And Israel, this is what she's looking for. I don't begrudge it. I mean, she's going to be so content with her place in the kingdom, not to belittle Israel at all. And I need to bring this out. What is the purpose of Paul saying in Romans 11 that the nations coming in would provoke Israel to jealousy?
Yeah.
That whole jealousy issue answers that question. The fact that Israel is made jealous from Paul going to the nations tells you that he is giving the nations something far greater than Israel has. Else, why would they be jealous?
Exactly. So, but the point, more than the most important point regarding this whole thing, is that Jewish people are part of the body of Christ too, if they believe in Christ. This is this calling, this higher blessing, as it were, goes out to all nations.
Now, but when you say that, it means that an Israelite, now we know in the body of Christ,
yes,
there's neither Jew nor Greek.
Right.
That was not a message that Peter ever taught.
No, no.
Because that message is death knell to Israel, because
exactly,
there's 12 thrones, there's 12 tribes.
Yes.
So if in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, so some Israelites believe Paul's message.
Yes.
At the moment they do, they pretty much revoke their Israelite identity, and they become identified with the body of Christ.
Exactly.
But when Paul's preaching this message, at the same time, Peter is in Israel,
right,
and is he embracing Paul's message? Is he a member of the body of Christ? Is he revoking his nationality to become identified with this new teaching by Paul? Is he?
No.
No, he's not.
As a matter of fact, Peter, that was the whole point of Galatians 1 and 2, if you read that, is they recognize that Paul was entrusted with the evangel to the uncircumcision, and Peter to that of the circumcision.
Galatians 2, verse 7.
And so they had two different messages going on at that time.
Right, which was really it's just as confusing today, because there was a time where there was only one message. There was the gospel to the circumcision.
Yes.
The gospel to Israel. It was easy back then,
yeah,
because there was only one way. Either you were an Israelite, and you embrace the message of the circumcision that you would inherit the Abrahamic promises, or you were a member of the nations and you had no expectation,
yep,
no promise, and the only way you could get into God is to become attached to that nation Israel.
Right.
Then Saul's on his way to Damascus and he hears messages of grace. He hears a new message. So now it becomes the waters get muddied a little bit, because now there's two evangels going out. And you either are, if you have the frequency, if you have a receiver that picks up Paul's frequency, you are going to attach yourself to the body of Christ. You're going to hear Paul's message apart from law. And something in you is going to respond to that. And to those listening to us, if something in you is responding to this, oh my gosh, this sounds too good to be true, apart from law, apart from works, this is for me. That means that you have a frequency tuned to this message. Other people, when they hear this, they think, well, this is crazy. I need to work for my salvation. And guess what? That was the message given to Israel. There's two gospels. What if they're responding legitimately to the circumcision evangel, even if they're not Jews? Because non-Israelites responded to that message, but they became attached to Israel. What I'm saying is that I think you could have an antenna for one or the other, even today. And if you have an antenna for this truth, then you're rejoicing in what we're saying. If it confuses you and you're mad, you don't understand Paul. I had people tell me, Paul just doesn't make any sense. I can't understand Paul. He talks because they're trying to fit this justification, this peace with God, they're trying to fit that with Hebrews, which says there's a fierce, fearful indignation awaiting. They're trying to make it fit with Jesus saying that tear off your hands and pluck out your eye or you won't get into the kingdom. For some reason, people like those verses because they want to work for their salvation, and they just don't get Paul. Well, if you don't get Paul, you don't get Paul.
Yeah, I'm only going to I'm going to disagree with you here.
How dare you?
Well, the only thing I would say about that, those who are embracing the circumcision evangel today, they're really not embracing the circumcision evangel, because they are blending it with Paul. In other words, they're believing things like you said in Matthew, but they're expecting to go to heaven.
They're mixing it.
So they blend some part of Paul's message with the circumcision evangel. All they're doing is picking and choosing some of the parts of Paul.
That's where we get the false message.
That's the false message evangel. Because they're trying to live like a Jew under law,
right,
and yet embrace some of the blessings given to the Gentile under grace.
They're picking and choosing things. Oh, I like this verse out of Hebrews. Ooh, I like this verse out of Romans.
Yeah,
and that's
this
illegal.
Is why you can't.
That's against
do that.
The law. You can't.
As a matter
do that.
Of fact, if you were to outline the New Testament You would take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's one part. Followed by Acts. And then you bring in Hebrews, James, Peter.
In other words, take Paul's 13 letters out.
Just take all the Pauline letters out.
His letters don't fit.
Don't fit.
They're a separate revelation.
And then just put them in a parenthesis.
Right.
Just take the New Testament the way it's laid out. When you get to Romans, imagine Romans to Philemon as a parenthesis.
And, but I still say that somebody can, if they don't mix it, is it possible? It's possible to believe the circumcision evangel purely without mixing it.
I've never met anyone in my life who did that.
I have.
Maybe you have. I don't know.
I have. There's a whole group of people now that are looking for the kingdom. They're looking to be a part of the 144,000.
Yeah.
They hear Paul. They don't get it. They think Paul's crazy. He doesn't even belong in the scriptures almost. It's almost to that point with some people. Yeah. They love the law. They can't get out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They love James. I've heard somebody say, oh, James is my favorite book. My gosh, it's written to adulterers and adulteresses. It's one of the it's the book on the lowest spiritual plane in the whole scriptures, really.
Yeah.
And I love James. They just can't wrap around this justification, this peace thing. What is it that
I got a
not
note
attractive
here,
about
I got a
that?
Note
I don't
here,
know.
I got a note here on James, and I wrote at the top of James. And by the way, you know James is Jacob? It's the Jacob of the New Testament. I don't know if most people don't realize that.
Including me.
James, comparing James with Thessalonians, James writing to a covenant people under law, and they have a low moral state. Paul writing to those who were once idolaters are living in love. What a contrast between law and grace. So James is writing to Jews under law, and they're in a total low state. And Paul writing to these Thessalonian idolaters who just came out of idolatry not only like a couple of weeks
before
this letter was written. Here they were living. They had faith in the living God. They were slaving for him, serving him, and waiting for his son.
That's interesting. Earlier you talked about there's no time gap when we're sinners and then we're justified.
Yeah.
Bang. These idolaters went from idolatry to justified in Christ, having peace with God, having access to God. The next minute, but the Jewish, no wonder the Jewish people were ticked off because they have gone through this long process of the law and they're not getting anywhere because they haven't learned the lesson of it to this day.
No.
And yet there are people among us who embrace that. It's just, God has to, I think God, we know God blinds Israel purposely.
Yeah.
And so I think today he's also purposely blinded people not to be able to see the,
exactly.
this grace. And so I say to our listeners, if you have an antenna for this, if your frequency is tuned to our frequency, and you can thank God for that because it's such a rare thing. As glorious as this message is, it never ceases to stun me that people don't like it.
I'm kind of actually shocked the direction we took today. I thought we were in Romans 5.
I did too. How did that happen? Whose fault was that? I think it was mine.
I was
think
yours.
I got his,
You're crazy. You took us off.
I know. Boy, it was fun.
Yeah, it was. I had a good time today.
I know. It was thanks to Julie. Who brought this issue up, though, of disparaging Israel. We certainly aren't disparaging Israel. We love Israel just like Paul. We have a burden for her, and we know that God is going to complete what he began with that nation.
God is going to fulfill every promise he made to Israel.
Every one of them. In the meantime, we rejoice in the grace of God.
If God doesn't fulfill what he promised to Israel, how can we trust him for what he tells us?
Good point. Think about that.
I'm Dan Sheridan.
I'm Martin Zender. We'll be back tomorrow.